Water is usually able to extinguish fire, but a future inferno of blazing destruction will turn even the rivers into molten fire beds. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about hell on earth. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Today we're going to talk about what will become of the wicked after the fires of God have burned them in this earth. Where will they spend eternity? Theology calls the place hell. Men talk glibly of that place and often utter the word as an invective to give vent to feelings of anger. The Bible has a lot to say about the future of the wicked. That we as Christians must accept the teachings of Jesus Christ goes without saying, but as for theology, well, that may have to go overboard if not consistent with Bible teaching. You'll find from our study today that men have invented a fantastic, fabricated doctrine about the wicked dead that has no confirmation at all in the Bible. Now Jesus declared on one occasion, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Matthew 7:13-14. And further from the teachings of Jesus in Luke 12:32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So there you are, friends. If we accept the teaching of Jesus, we must consequently understand that the majority of the world's inhabitants will be lost. Now, I know this is a sad picture, especially in view of the fact that salvation is free and all God's power is offered in its plenitude to save man. But this picture becomes horribly tragic and revolting when the theology is accepted, which consigns all the lost to writhe and scream in an eternal hellfire and indescribable pain. If this theology is true, then throughout all eternity we'll have the majority of Earth's inhabitants from all ages of its history suffering the most exquisite pain and torture in a fearful hell of fire and brimstone, time without end. Now let's examine the Word of God to see what it does teach on the future punishment of the wicked. Remember, we're told that God is love. The wise man in Proverbs 11:31 declared, "The righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner." And Jesus said, "The meek shall inherit the earth," Matthew 5:5. Now clearly these statements are not intended to convey the idea that all the reward men will receive is what they get out of this life. In the first place, in this present world, a meek man has a difficult time holding on to what he has. Jesus must therefore refer to some future day. But we want to emphasize that both saint and sinner will be rewarded upon the earth. A few passages of Scripture will confirm this. We turn first to Daniel 7, verses 26 and 27. "But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him." Now notice, friends, it says, "The kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High." Thus, the everlasting kingdom shall be on the earth. And this agrees with John in Revelation 11:15, where he says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Now language could not be plainer, and we're shut up to the conclusion, then, that the saints will eventually be recompensed on the earth, as Solomon declared, and he also declared that the wicked and the sinner would be recompensed in the earth as well. Are we then to have both a hell and a heaven on this earth at the same time? In that case, most of the earth would be given up to the wicked, for Jesus said they vastly outnumber the saints. No, no, friends. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And it's not God's plan for the wicked to have it. Oh, we've learned in previous broadcasts that that's not the way it is. In fact, we learned that all the wicked will be slain when Christ comes a second time by the brightness of his coming. And you read that in 1 Thessalonians 2:8 and Jeremiah 25:33. "And then these wicked will remain dead until the end of the 1,000 years. This is all spelled out very clearly in the book of Revelation. Then they'll be resurrected and will be upon the earth again for a little season, according to the way John described it. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, Christ comes a third time to execute judgment upon all the ungodly, and that's when the holy city comes down at that time, and all the saints are brought back to this earth, according to Jude 1, verse 14. Now, the saints are with him as that holy city descends to earth at the end of the 1,000 years, and when Jesus brings this city, he calls forth the wicked to life again, and they rise and cover the earth. Then Jesus descends on the Mount of Olives, and as his feet touch that mountain, it cleaves apart and becomes a great plain upon which the city rests. You'll read that in Zechariah chapter 14. Therefore, all men, saints and sinners, are on the earth at one time. The saints are inside the jasper walls of that city, and the wicked are on the outside. Now remember, this is at the end of the 1,000 years of Revelation 20. Then Satan is loosed and appears among the wicked, and what does he do? Let the prophet answer now in Revelation 20:7-9. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So what becomes of the wicked, friends? Fire devours them, says the Word of God. This fire which descends on the wicked turns the old earth into an inferno. And in this lake of fire, the wicked are devoured. They are not eternally tormented, but destroyed. Every wicked man and woman will be rewarded according to his or her works. That's fair, of course. That's just. If all were to be kept burning eternally, all would receive the same punishment. But God says everyone will be punished according to his works, which means that some will suffer longer than others, according to the evil of their lives. But now we read further on this in 2 Peter 3, 7, and then verse 12. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 10 says, the earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Therefore we see then that the earth in which we live today is reserved unto fire in the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men, which means that when the earth is destroyed by fire, that is the day of perdition of the ungodly as well. The earth and its work shall be burned up. Then, I quote from Isaiah 34:9 on this great event, the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. Again, this time from Malachi 4:1-3, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, and the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, the root, of course, is the devil, and the branches are the wicked, and all of them will become ashes together, saith the Lord. Now let's read from the teachings of Jesus on this point in Matthew 13:38-42. He was explaining the parable of the sower, the wheat and the tares, rather. And he said, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, Jesus said, as the tares and weeds are burned in the fire, so will the wicked be burned. But when? In the end of the world, answers Jesus. Therefore, nobody is on a burning hell now. For the wicked are not cast into that furnace of fire until the end of the world, and that literally does not come until the end of the 1,000 years. This is very clearly stated here in the Bible. Again, Jesus stated, "And these," that is the wicked ones, "shall go away into everlasting punishment." Matthew 25:46. Now let's ask the question, friends, what is this everlasting punishment? Is it some kind of eternal torment in the lake of fire? Let the Bible answer. Let's read now from 2 Thessalonians 1:9 concerning the wicked, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Now there it is. Mark it down. It says destruction. The prophet Obadiah says of the destruction of the wicked, "They shall be as though they had not been." Obadiah 1:16. Now, how could God make it plainer than that, friends? Anyone who can read eternal torment for the wicked into these scriptures could call a Beethoven symphony a croaking frog pond. The sin and sinners will be no more. The sinner will be gone forever. His place will be destroyed. Harmony will reign again throughout God's vast domain. The Apostle Peter adds, after predicting this great conflagration that would engulf and destroy the present world, he said, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." 2 Peter 3:7-13. And then John says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Revelation 21:1. No, my friends, God will not torment the wicked forever and ever. How could he? And still truthfully declare of himself, God is love. God is love, and he's not a fiend. The doctrine that God will eternally torment the wicked is an invention of the devil to cast reflection upon God and dishonor upon his name. The fact is that God would save all men if they'd only let him, but they won't let him. He has purposed to destroy sin and have a clean, harmonious universe, and he lovingly calls men today to separate from their sin so that they'll escape destruction. But if men will not forsake their sins, it's but a natural consequence that they'll be destroyed, since sin is to be destroyed and they persist in clinging to it. This is the best that a loving God can do. For tears, sorrow, pain, and death must go, and their cause, sin and sinners, must be wiped out. When this has been accomplished, not a note of discord will be heard in all the music of heaven. May God hasten that day and prepare you and me for our future home with him. God is love in his dealing with sinners as well as with saints. Friends, believe that God is love and not a fiend, no matter what theologians might tell you about it. We've proven today that he's love from the Word of God. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.